Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hello.
How you doing?
All right.
Tired.
Yeah, why are you tired, Ashton?
I'm so sleepy. I am doing my play this week, and I am so tired. Yeah. Just feel like I've been like in a fugue state all week this week.
What
of
time
just like
are you...
adrenaline and nerves and tiredness.
What time are you getting to bed each night? Post play,
like 11, okay. I think, and then that's if I don't stay for a drink afterwards. Yesterday I used one of the other girls as an excuse to be like, I've got to take her home with oh, she needs a lift home, I have to go now. But yeah, I'm sleepy.
I've taken tomorrow off
because I was like that's, I'm not gonna take any decision. Time off, I'm gonna be fine. And then yesterday I was like, oh, I need to take right now. I might die.
I'm amazed that you've managed to sort of stick at it for this long without taking any time off, because you've been doing all your rehearsals and stuff after work and things like that. I am glad that you're taking Friday off.
Me too.
Yeah.
Particularly about after what we're gonna put you through tonight as rowdy audience members. Hey,
I stood.
You're gonna be so embarrassed. No, we're not. Do that, I promise. Excited to see it though. We're excited to come and see your play.
Yeah, can't wait.
You'll do great.
I'm so nervous about
it. It's so funny that you're nervous. We were just talking before we started recording about this.
I don't know why. I'm just nervous the most about these two coming to see it. I'm fine with my mum and dad coming to see it. Mm-hmm. My boyfriend, no problem. Audiences, strangers, fine.
Yeah, school kids
in yesterday. Yeah, loads of school kids in yesterday. But for some reason, these two. I'm nervous about them coming to see it.
Well, for some reason, we might just sack you the next day.
No.
If it's really bad.
I just think, like, if I mess it up, I have to see you every day.
Yeah,
you
forever.
Know? Forever. Right. So then it's like, ooh.
What are they called? Statler and Waldorf?
Waldorf,
Is that what you're worried about?
Yeah.
One of them has a beard, doesn't he, or a moustache, and the
possibly.
Other one doesn't.
Boo! Yeah. No, we're not going to do that.
No.
We're there in full support, and I'm sure you'll do amazing. This isn't a play podcast, though.
No.
As discerning theatre goers that Peter and I are, this is not a theatre podcast. This is, of course, a video game podcast. Each and every week, we're sponsored by a very real video game adjacent sponsor. They help us keep that bulb on.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's still going. Has anyone seen Dead Island 2 The Spider this week?
No, I don't think. It's got cold again, so it's probably gone and hidden.
If that bulb goes... Is the sort of implication there that we're not getting sponsors anymore?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I think if that bulb goes, that's the implication that Dead Island 2 has passed away. It's like, the smoke from a...
When they elect a new pope.
Yeah.
When the bulb goes.
The bulb goes out. Yeah. Well, if you've seen Dead Island 2 The Spider, we have a new T-shirt. And
you can report.
No one's wearing it today, actually.
No.
But
We're in the very comfy hoodies today. Some of those foam bricks are starting to bulge a bit back there. You don't imagine that just a deluge of Dead Island 2 The Spiders will pour out.
Well, maybe. I'd hope not. Sounds horrible.
Fingers crossed that doesn't happen. I've got the ad read here, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Now, we are this week sponsored by a video game that came out on Xbox, part of Game Pass, I think maybe even a couple of years ago now. I don't even think it was last year. Mm-hmm. It was a sort of narrative adventure, really cool art style that was kind of one or two frames per second. It was like real people, but they'd been video gamified. And there was like a heist or a holdup at a gas station.
Right.
So they finally brought that out on PlayStation 5. That came out this week on PS5. Mm-hmm. And this one's a little different because it focuses more on the nearby waterfowl that inhabited the area around the petrol station. They didn't really get the light shone on them mm-hmm. in the original version.
Right.
Coming from Insert Developer Studios as Duck Falls.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You remember the last one, right? You remember the original?
Mm-hmm. Dusk.
As Dusk Falls.
Right, yeah.
So this one's about the ducks who are nearby the petrol station.
Is it like DLC additional content, or have they just completely remade the game for PlayStation so it only focuses on the ducks?
They haven't remade, like, narratively, it's exactly the same.
Right.
The only thing that's different is that
you see all the entire thing from the ducks' perspective.
Well, it's not even that.
Oh.
All of the humans are now ducks.
Oh, right.
And every time they speak, it's the same quack noise. Yeah, it's that.
That one.
Yeah, do it again.
Quack.
Yeah, it's that.
Very good.
So, and that's the whole game. There are no subtitles either. So,
okay.
Interesting.
You have to make decisions and it says
quack
or
quack.
And that's it. And
everywhere they walk, it's just sort of slapping noises.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's really funny for about 5 minutes and then you don't want to play anymore. So As Duck Falls, available now on PlayStation 5.
Great. Cool. I'm so glad that's a real thing.
Yeah.
It's not a real thing. You got to part with boring, crappy old As Dusk Falls, unfortunately, which is a real shame because I played that and I didn't think it was very good. No, we're not sponsored by As Duck Falls. We're sponsored by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump. If you go there and support us at the minimum tier, you get access to loads of stuff. You can ask questions on this podcast. You can watch early episodes of Weirdest and Worst Games Ever and get access to exclusive episodes of Rules Boss and Main Menu. It really is an unbeatable value. Crikey. Triplejump.mup. That's where you can go to find our YouTube, our Twitch, our Discord, our Cameo. Triplejumpshop.com. We've got new merch in now.
Yeah.
We've got hoodie. We've got two shirts. We've got also a pin badge. And in limited supplies, hurry, because they're going to go soon. Billy Ray plush buddies.
Plush buddies.
Yeah.
Plush buddies. Mm. So you can get your very own. Not quite one of those.
Mm.
He's not even looking at the camera.
Pin badges glow in the dark. Forgot to mention that on the the ad. Yeah.
Cool. I didn't know that.
I just completely forgot. And then it was only after they'd gone live that our merch man just happened to mention it on a tweet from the Triple Jump Shop Twitter account. It was like, oh, yeah. The glow-in-the-dark pin. I was like, oh, damn, yeah, I forgot. It's been that long since we approved it.
Pretty sick. So triplejumpshop.com, go get yourself some amazing new Triple Jump merch. This is really comfortable, this hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
Very warm.
And you can trick people into searching for your name on the back of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did that.
Yeah. Someone spent a good few minutes looking for my name on the back of the hoodie, and only took them that long to realize that none of the names were, in fact, real. Yeah. So, great.
Got them. A few things out this week on the channel. On the
That's
yes.
Right.
There's... No, please, I insist.
No, well, you're in that first one, so you should say that.
All right.
There's weirdest... Sorry. Are we gonna...
This week's the weirdest games ever week. If you've been on Patreon already, it came out last week. But if you haven't, it's Portal Runner, and it is weird.
Yeah.
And Kieran did a great job with some of the edits that made me actually cackle out loud. Mm-hmm. So it's a good one.
We've also got every Pokemon game ranked from worst to best. We've ranked all of the 151 Gen 1 Pokemon, but now we're ranking all of the actual video games.
Ooh.
So that will be on the channel too.
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
Merch is the last thing it says here.
Merch.
Buy our merch. Mm. It's available now.
Yeah.
Should we get on with question one?
Yes, let's.
It's from Vickers Smith, who says, "Hello, BAP," or whatever combination is not plops this week. So the industry is having a bad time of it, and I think a certain segment of the gaming community wonder how the industry will be affected. So is it better to carry on and consume as normal, or is there another direction folks should head into as these massive conglomerates brush hundreds of employees off like flakes? Does this make you more likely to purchase indie games over big titles? Hmm. Thank you, Vickers Smith.
Thank you, Vickers.
Thank you.
I think big disclaimer here. We say it all the time, but probably for this question more than most, we're not experts on how these things work on financial dealings and how businesses operate. So it's difficult to say exactly what one can do to help or hinder, help the little man or hinder the big man. I think like avoiding the products of these big companies is not necessarily the way to go, because if anything, that's probably just going to encourage larger companies to close studios faster if they're, you know, if any upcoming releases don't perform as well as they were sort of forecast to. So that is probably not a good thing to do in terms of avoiding those. But there's no reason why you can't also gravitate towards indie titles. I think particularly as there are so many people now out of work looking for jobs, it's no bad thing if we are able to financially support some of the smaller studios, perhaps even to the point that they're able to take on a few extra staff for future projects, maybe. So we might be, as a group, I don't mean there's maybe like the three of us just buying an indie game, but, you know, in our masses, if we were to support a few smaller studios, then maybe we would indirectly be creating jobs for these poor people who have been let go with often very little warning and not much of a nice handshake. So that's certainly one thing you could do. But yeah, I don't think avoiding big games is necessarily the way to go in terms of trying to help these unfortunate staff.
Yeah, we've always said, like, kind of make a point with your wallet when it comes to certain game companies treating people and staff and general things badly, like with Activision Blizzard when all of the sexual harassment information came out. I do think that, like Peter says, it's hard balance because if you don't buy the game, the companies will lose money, yes, but the person who's going to be feeling that loss isn't necessarily going to be the shareholders with their multi-millions / billions. It's going to be the people lower down the ladder who get sacked, which is an unfortunate kind of trap to be stuck in with capitalism striking again. However, I do think that if you are someone who is really struggling with the moral aspect of like, well, if I buy this game, people are still going to get let go. Like, I don't want to support this company because they've treated people badly. Then, like I say, there's so many indie games and so many indie developers and so many smaller studios that aren't necessarily considered indie that do treat their staff with respect and do have a lot of community within their workplaces. So there's so many that you can support. I mean, even like places like Devolver have so many studios under their belt and have thus far, I think, and I'm not 100% sure on this, but I'm pretty sure not any of those studios have had to let people go in the quite the same numbers as there have been under other kind of similar sized of what are they called?
Redundancies?
No. The what's it called when not a developer, a publisher. That's right, what I was looking for.
Big developer.
Thank you, yeah. I think that there's lots of smaller devs and publisher teams that you should definitely check out that are producing lots of great things. Focus Entertainment is another one. They have loads of games coming out that are smaller teams and smaller studios. And again, feel like they have a lot more respect for their games and their gamers and their staff. So yeah, there's loads of places to go outside of the big kind of like 7 or 8 huge studios that are developing games. And it makes you feel less bad about yourself because you know you're supporting a smaller team who deserve it nonetheless. So yeah.
I think ultimately you've got to do what's right for you because you should vote with your wallet, but also, if you like Call of Duty, you don't have to deny yourself Call of Duty. If you can justify it to yourself, that's fine. Because when you get down to the granular level, when we're talking about games and companies that are dealing with money in or quite as much money as they are dealing with, which is an astronomical amount of money, which is half the reason we're in this, you know, mess in the first place. You are but a fraction of a percent to them. Mm-hmm. Not buying or not buying their game, ultimately, probably isn't going to make any difference. What does matter is how you feel about it. And if you don't want to support Warner Brothers because they've decided to double down on live service for some reason, even though Hogwarts Legacy, a single player game, has been their biggest success, and Suicide Squad, the opposite of that, has lost them loads of money, then that's totally your call. But also, you might be inclined to play the new Assassin's Creed game because you like being an assassin and that's fun. Ashton's totally right. There are amazing indie studios out there making incredible games. And perhaps you might want to check out some of these games and give them a try and broaden your horizons. It'll cost you less money. And also, you'll be supporting smaller studios in the process. what it comes down to is you are not responsible for these job losses. Like, the consumer is not responsible losses, and you shouldn't feel responsible for that. That's the failings of higher-ups. That's the failings of shareholders. So play what you want, buy what you want. If you have a moral objection to something, totally okay. Just bear in mind that if you're asking what we can do about it, not a lot is the answer.
Yeah.
On sort of at a consumer level, unless it's a mass protest.
Well, this is what we've said before.
You can't do an awful lot.
That, like, the people who listen to this podcast and us are so ingrained in the gaming industry, whereas, like, there's such an insane number of people who just play their games and don't think about anything else other than the next FIFA or Call of Duty or whatever weird other game that some people play. They only think about what's coming out next. They don't necessarily are not part of this kind of discourse at any given point because they're just not interested. They only just like playing the games that they play, and as long as they keep coming out, they're going to keep buying them.
I spoke to a friend recently who he's really into games in that he enjoys playing them, but he doesn't happen to follow the industry very much. And he mentioned just one specific game that had been cancelled. He was like, oh, it's a shame about that game that's been cancelled, because he happened to have heard about that. And he was like, yeah, I wonder why they did that. And I was like, oh, did you not hear about all the layoffs at that studio? And he was like, oh, no. And I was like, oh, yeah. And not just there. And it was all news to him. He had no idea about this.
My mum actually asked me about it because she listens to Radio 1 because she's nearly 60, but pretends she's 25.
Yeah.
And she heard about it on like they covered it on their news. She was like, oh, what's going on with all these layoffs then? And I was like, oh, yeah. How long do you have?
Amy messaged me like a week ago or something saying like, oh, I've just seen about this, some studio closing. And I was like, oh yeah, this has been going on for a lot longer than a week. But I think it's also important actually to not necessarily like vilify any given company for the mere fact that they are letting people go. It's how they do it and what the reason is. If it's like a big studio where the shareholders are clearly like still taking home massive bonuses, then it's like, okay, that feels pretty flippy.
Or if perhaps they've come out with a statement that said, our priority has always been our shareholders and not our staff.
Then by all means, be angry. But, you know, clearly there is a problem in the industry. Projections aren't as good as they once were. And so we might find, or I'm sure we will find, that some smaller studios are having to let people go, without, big boss higher ups taking loads of money home. Some of the even like kind of indie sized studios might have to do layoffs. And the fact that they're letting people go in and of itself is not something that we should be, up in arms about, saying, how dare you do that? If their hand is forced financially and they've done everything they can do, and hopefully they do everything they can do for those staff as they let them go as well, like we've heard about some companies providing ongoing healthcare and stuff like that, then, it's the best way to do a bad thing, I think. And so, it's not enough that if a company lets someone go that they are terrible and the spawn of Satan, but it's all about the process.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Just it's a crap time, and just be kind to people and do what you think is best ultimately.
Yeah.
Because no one person not buying a mega triple, quadruple, quintuple A game is going to change that right now.
Yeah.
But there it is.
Play some more indies. There's some amazing
ones out
there.
Yeah, some great indie games out there. Really, really good stuff.
I put it on here because I thought we could try it this time. I came up with it this week. It might be terrible. I don't know. It's called What We Play In.
It's What We Play In time to talk about the games what we have been playing. It's talking about playing nothing but indies, right, guys?
Yeah.
You definitely won't hear any about any huge games in this section. No sorry, Bob. Peter, what have you been playing?
I've been playing obscure indie game Tomb Raider 1.
What even is that?
It's really like strange and interesting, and it's made by a single man.
Mm-hmm.
He voiced Lara Croft. He did it all by himself.
Wow.
Flipping heck, that's taken me a long time. I'm enjoying it, but and I'm nearly finished now. I've actually like killed what is either the final boss or probably maybe the penultimate boss. I've destroyed the artifact that I had to destroy, and I'm walking through a pyramid made of like guts and stuff.
Sounds lovely.
Kind of horrible. Yeah. Well, so I don't know if you know that you can switch between the two graphical styles in that game, as you can in some remasters. And I do occasionally just switch between them, partly because have you seen those images of people who can't buy keys?
Yeah.
There's like keys on the floor.
So like in the modern version, it's like a little key, like almost PNG on like cobbled ground, and then when you switch to like the old time, it's like the big floating key.
Oh, really?
And you fully cannot see it in the regular.
But if you're in like, because they've like done all the lighting in the new version, so there's like some really shadowy areas, and it's like a little tiny silver key on like a gravel floor. People are like running past keys all the time. I've not actually had that issue myself because normally they're in a place where you are going to naturally step over them, and if you step over an item, an exclamation mark comes above your head. Okay. So I've not actually had that issue, but I switch between them anyway, just for fun and to see, you know, how it used to look and how it looks now. And flipping heck, I knew about this pyramid made of guts and stuff, but when I entered it, I was playing it last night. When I came in there, it was I had it in old graphics mode. I was like, oh wow, this is gross. I switched to new graphics. It's horrible. They've taken photos of like cold meats, I think, or something. I don't know what they've done, but they have got these like really high res, but they've still got like the tiled texture, so you can just see the loop point. It's like wallpaper, you know. They've not like made like one seamless wraparound thing in a room.
What's the context for the pyramids of Giza?
It's Atlantis, apparently.
Oh, they loved that.
Yeah,
gut pyramids.
Mm-hmm. Did you say the Great Pyramid of Giza?
I did.
That's very good.
Thank
I like
you.
That.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Have you encountered the graphical glitches where in certain places there's just like a big, huge, blown up, almost like portrait appearing?
Oh, I had that once, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was really weird.
I was watching Ben play it and he like swam under a thing. And when you turn, if you turn around to like go back on yourself, where the wall is, there's just this big, like huge blown up bit of a portrait that's like... It's obviously not supposed to be there, but it's just this weird graphical glitch thing. And
but
apparently
it's see-through
it
on the other side.
Yeah.
You're swimming down this tunnel. There's nothing there. You're just swimming through empty water. And then when you turn around where you've just been, it's like Minecraft when you walk through a portrait. There's like a huge picture of a woman.
Yeah, it's really weird.
How odd.
Yeah. There's been a couple of places where they've just been like the odd tile that like clearly shouldn't be there. But other than that, it's run pretty good and it looks fine and stuff. So nearly finished Tomb Raider 1. I'm basically just trying to get out of the Pyramid of Gizzards as it collapses around me. And then I'm looking forward to moving on to 2 and 3. But God, apparently they're a lot bigger than 1. And it's taken me that long to do the first one that I might put it aside for a bit and play something else because there's a few things coming out in March. So, I might come back to that later. But we'll see because I am looking forward to the next two.
Nice.
There's more abilities and stuff. I can sprint later on, I think.
Slow down.
Which will be nice. But that's all I've been playing and I'm nearly done.
Love that.
Ashton.
Me and MB thought we should spend some time together this weekend just gone because we're not gonna have any time for like 3 weeks. So we played some Plate Up, which is I love that game. I think it's brilliant. And we had a steak restaurant and then that got shut down. And then we had a pizza restaurant that was called Pep Nips that got shut down too.
Pep Nips.
Yeah.
Explain.
Pepperoni nipples. There was something
It
was just something in school that people used to say about
bullying
nipples. Pep Nips.
Oh, God.
And we didn't even sell pepperoni pizza either, which is sad. Just mushroom pizza.
Just nipple pizza.
Fungi.
So we played some of that. And then the other thing I've played this week, and I've played about 10 hours of it, is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Hey.
I am liking this game. I do have my issues with it, though. And I think that I'm a bit confused that everyone seems to just be like, totally fine and like have some no notes about it, because I feel like I don't want to be too negative, so I'm not going to go into it too much now, but I just feel like there's a few things that are like
Chadley, isn't it?
Yeah, when Chadley's really annoying and he FaceTimes me all the time, like, can you just send me a text, Chadley, please, for the love of God.
Hey, that's a great job.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I know, now can you let me out of this weird little cutscene so I can carry on with my life? I don't really like the menu, like the general kind of menu. I think you can't see the text and the background. The lighting in that area is really weird. Aerith looks like a weird porcelain doll, and I don't like it. There's so many options in that menu, and half of them I never access, and I don't know what they do. And what's the point in them? I don't know. The next issue I have with it is I do think that like, sometimes the lighting in this game is weird and either like really super bright and you... I just don't think it looks as good as everyone seems to be like saying it does. I think like some areas I'm like, well, yeah, that looks great. But I've seen other games look better than this one. And everyone's like, this game looks amazing. Best looking game ever.
Yeah, but Chadley though.
You'd be quiet.
See that guy who tweeted, it was a clip of Cloud like jumping in a little like canal and then getting out again. And his caption, I think it was like completely serious.
Yeah.
He was like, he was done with gaming. He was like, for flip's sake, Cloud gets out of this water and he is not drenched with water because there's
he's
no like
dry.
Wet clothes, you yeah. know, effect. And he was like, yeah. That's it. I'm just done with this industry or something like that. I can't remember exactly how he said it.
The industry will miss him.
Yeah.
I'm sure. And his hyperbolic baby whining.
He was really pissed off.
So cross.
That Cloud isn't a bit wet when he gets out of the water.
We had a little chat, didn't we, about Final Fantasy VII off content. Like, I'm largely in agreement with you in that I really like it, and I haven't actually had a chance to play any this week because I've been playing something else. But it's not a 10 out of 10. It's not even a 9 out of 10 for me.
Right.
Like, I think it's fantastic, but I think it has some pretty obvious flaws that I'm sort of baffled that a lot of people are overlooking. Like, I'm kind of astounded that it's being... like I love that people are loving it, honestly. Mm-hmm. But I don't agree. This is one of the few occasions where I think the review scores are too high for this game. And I love it, and I can't wait to go back into it. And I'm not trying to yuck anyone's yum, but like you, Ashton, I think there are some quite obvious issues with this game that are just sort of being overlooked.
Yeah. What's it on, like 93% or 92%.
Something? It's really high. Yeah. It's really high.
I didn't listen to Ben. Last week on the review corner, Ben said, what I think you should do is, you know, like go in the first area, do a couple of things and then like move on to the next area. And unfortunately, every time a little blip popped up on my map, I had to go and sort it out. So I've 100% completed the first area before I moved on. It took me like 5 hours.
Yeah.
And yeah, now I'm in this set, like just got into the second area and started doing the story bits there. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff. And I think that like, half of it could have been removed. And I do, it does have that vibe of like, we put everything in the game and we took nothing
notes.
Out.
Put it all in. And Chadley. Honestly, more Chadley. Can we get more Chadley in here?
No, please.
Chadley,
enough
Peter,
Chadley.
Is a little boy.
Little robot boy.
Who calls you all the time and tells you to do side stuff.
He wants to go bowling.
He's the He's the one that like, we'll have you going to the towers to like activate his network or whatever.
His Chadleyverse, yeah.
Yeah, and then he's made himself a sister/girlfriend. Don't know what that vibe is.
They don't like each other.
Who basically, the entire time you're like doing one of their special fights, she'll just talk at you. She's like, this guy, he's the toxic rat and he'll give you poison
if you're just hitting, you're like,
be quiet.
Sounds like Dragon's Dogma.
If you, it does a bit. If you get any of the objectives wrong after the fact, she'll say something like, oh, you know, nice try. Maybe next time you could do all the objectives. And it's like, shut up. Do you have any idea how important of a quest I am on? And I'm here fighting rats for you. Will you pipe down? Be a little less annoying.
Also, the Moogles... horrible.
No.
Yeah,
horrible. Hate them. Freak me out.
Moogles are delightful.
They speak like human people and they freak me out.
Koopo.
I don't like it.
Koopo.
It does.
I can't believe you've not seen Moogles before.
Out. I have, but they didn't look like that.
Yeah,
in
the new
other
Moogles
things.
Are kind of weird looking.
I love the new Moogles.
In Kingdom Hearts, I think those Moogles are really cute. Mm. But the
little
ones in
things.
This. I don't like them. I don't like the way their mouths move. I don't like anything about them. They're too big as well. They're too big.
They're threatening.
Kind of scary.
All I've seen really from that game is Dry Cloud. The Koopos. The Koopos. The Moogles.
Yeah.
I think it's not a glitch, but it could be. What's the dog boy called?
Red 13.
Yeah, red, like riding a chocobo.
Oh, no, that's normal.
That's
he does normal.
How
yeah,
it
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's just how he rides
just
chocobo.
Looks a bit weird.
Oh, it's funny, though.
It looks like
someone's forced his model onto where a human should be.
I keep calling him dog. I'm like, come on, dog. And Ben's like, that's not his name, is it? And
that's
I'm like,
a sentient creature. You can't call him dog. In fact, they make a point throughout the game.
Yeah,
he's cross when people
like
treat
when
him
people
like
him
a dog.
Dog.
Yeah,
but unfortunately, he put Roman numerals in his name, and I refuse to.
He didn't do that.
I keep calling him Red 5 because I can't remember.
He did not do that. That was the specimen name given to him in the
either
laboratory.
Either way, he's a dog. Dog. Come on, dog.
All right, I mean, dog I can't boy. Disagree. He dog is boy. A dog boy. Yeah, but it's a great game, though.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to play more, but it definitely it has some issues, for sure.
It's got a lot in it. A lot of stuff.
There's a lot of... It's a big game. It's a chunky game, for sure. You played anything else?
No, that's everything I've played this week.
Okay. I'm really excited to get back to Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, but we were very fortunate in that we got our review code in for WWE 2K14.
2K14.
I was like, that's weird. It's a bit old.
Yeah.
And then I spent basically all weekend smashing through as much of it as I possibly could. And that's been dominating my time. I'll talk about that in a minute in the review corner. Mm. But I did have my my parents up to visit in my new house for the first time, which was lovely. And I wanted to show them how far video games had come.
Yeah.
So I showed them some Spider-Man 2.
Cool. Right.
And they were exhausted and they both just sort of sat there in complete silence. And I was like, this is good. I promise you. Like, this is... No. Yeah. And I showed them the fast travel. They were like, okay. And then my dad eventually...
That is so funny. Just this image of like, you being like, look.
Look how amazing this is.
When like, we all saw the fast travel for the first time, we were like, wow, that was really impressive.
It just gives me a vibe of that, like a little kid like, look what I made.
Yeah,
look,
basically.
You
that's
like it?
It?
And it's like,
they're just humouring me. Like, good. Well done. You managed to make a career out of this somehow.
How long did you try and sort of convince them?
Yeah.
For?
I mean, how long did they watch you play Spider-Man?
Maybe 2? Like 15, 20 minutes. I only like swung around the city and showed them stuff. I think they just wanted to
show them the windows
at that point. I did show them the windows. Yeah, I did. I showed them the little bedrooms with, I said, sometimes they have people in. And then I crawled up a building for ages and they went, look, there's one. They went, uh-huh. Cool. And I said, but it's not just like video games have come a long way. People don't just play like big blockbuster games. They also like weird sort of brain dead games that you can sort of unwind and relax while playing. And so I showed them some Power Wash Simulator as well.
Oh yeah.
And my dad was absolutely baffled by that one. Just did not understand.
Did
it.
He say, why not get a power washer?
He didn't say that, but he was like, this is it's odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why would you do that? I can't explain it. It's just sometimes you just want to do something with your hands while not thinking, and that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
So I showed them that. I also bought Star Wars Dark Forces, which released last week.
Yeah.
I think like really recently. Mm. And I was quite drunk when I bought it. So I just sort of, because I watched my dad play Dark Forces. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, Dark Forces has just had a remaster. It runs at 120 frames per second now. And he was like, I don't know what that means at all. Like, understandable. I don't even know how I'd explain what that means. So I downloaded that and played through the first level. And then he lit up. He was like, oh, he's saying to my mum, like, when you were working nights, I used to, like, this is what I used to stay up and play and stuff. You know, all the music. And I'm very nostalgic for it as well. You know, we've spoken about it before, Peter, about how I used to try
and
fight the monster in the pit. Because when you jump off a cliff, is it Kyle Katarn? Is that what he's called? His death noise sounded so monstrous when you fell to your death that I thought it wasn't fall damage that was killing me. It was a monster. So me and my cousin used to throw ourselves off cliffs and just fire weapons trying to kill this monster.
That's so cute.
So that's really lovely to be able to play that now. And it does run really, really well, like surprisingly well. There's a lot of options that I haven't really delved into too deeply. Weirdly, on PS5, it's got motion controls on by default.
Oh.
So if you tilt the controller, it will aim the reticule around in addition to using the analog stick. So you're going to want to turn that off. I played through the second level last night, and it's just coming flooding back.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. It's nice to have, and it would be a full circle moment for me to be able to actually sit down and finish it as an adult, with only sort of bare knowledge of, you know, however far I got in the original game. But that's out now, and that's nice, and that is all I've played.
I think that's how I'm playing Tomb Raider as well. It's like I had them as a kid, and now it's like, I would like to be able to actually finish these for the first time ever. But Dark Forces, the whole time it was, you know, in the run-up to the game coming out, I was thinking, I'm going to get that.
Yeah.
And then about 2 or 3 days ago, I remembered about it. I was like, oh, yeah, that's out now. And I watched footage of someone playing it. And I know what the game is. I've known for years what it's like. And then I kind of thought, I don't know if this is for me. You know, like,
it's a Doom clone, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Without the actual nostalgia, it might as well be Doom or anything else. It's just, you know, it's got a Star Wars skin on it, but a lot of the levels kind of look the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think actually I'm not gonna give it a go because I think I just won't actually enjoy it that much. Yeah.
But that's fair enough.
I can totally understand why people who played it at the time are enjoying themselves.
The nostalgia was kind of overwhelming. The music in that style from the time, and I'm amazed at the muscle memory, mm-hmm. or not even the muscle memory, but just the memory of the maps that suddenly came back to me. Like I remember this very specifically, and I've not thought about this game in 25 years or whatever. It's astonishing how much I remembered. It's also kind of like surprisingly dark in places, like the sprites they use for. In the second level, you go to a city that the Empire's taken over, and they've clearly just decimated it. So there's some destroyed buildings and stuff, and they've got these sprites, you know, like in Doom, where you approach a sprite and then it follows you all the way around when you look at it, because it's just 2D. They're like horrible, like burnt corpses and skeletons and stuff, and it's awful. And I also always used to skip the cutscenes, and I'm not doing that now.
Oh, yeah.
So I actually sort of know what's going on, which is interesting, you know, with the retconned lore that they used to have before Disney rebooted it. Because
that's how they stole the plans, isn't it? It's Rogue One.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Carl Kattan stole the plans, apparently. So there we go. That's out now if you want it. It's like £22, I want to say, which I think is a little pricey, but it's available now. Should we go into who's coming with me to the review corner today?
Who do you want to come with you?
Neither of you want to talk about WWE with me, do you?
I think you should. I know Ashton's tired, but just for fun, I think you should make her do it.
All right.
Okay.
Let's go talk about Sweaty Boys.
Yay. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Review Corner. I'm here, and so's Ben.
Yes, I am here too.
And we're both equally excited about this game.
That's very true. And it's nice of you to admit that you're this excited about WWE 2K24. I know you do.
Famously, such wrestlers as...
Stop talking about it. Yes. Such wrestlers as...
The Rock.
Yes.
And one with the surname Road. Cody Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes, yeah.
Cody Rhodes.
Rocky Rhodes.
Singular,
that's
yeah. Mm-hmm. And others.
There are others, too.
Others as well.
And you're just as big of a fan of those.
All of them.
Brilliant. Yeah. Well, it's a good thing that I'm here to... I've played it.
Yes.
In a break from tradition, because otherwise
normally you would have
played it for sure. A big thank you to 2K for sending us a code for WWE 2K24.
Do it.
Same bloody thing. Per ASA guidelines, this video/podcast is now classified as an ad. However, there was no financial compensation in exchange for coverage. We're just covering it because we got a code. Mm-hmm. There we are. So, WWE 2K24.
Yeah.
It's back. I will say up front that Visual Concepts, the developer, 2K, have really settled into a fantastic groove now. Like, they reliably make good wrestling games. Mm-hmm. And that's nice because it's taken us a little while to get here. Mm-hmm. For starters, there's bloody loads of stuff in it.
Yeah.
Like more stuff than you could ever conceivably do, which is good because not every mode is going to be for everyone.
Yeah.
So you've got My Faction, which is the card-based one, mm-hmm. and they've now added an option so you can purchase individual cards. It's sort of a live service, a FIFA Ultimate Team kind of thing. So they want you to log in every day. You get login bonuses. There's you build your little faction, your little roster of guys and girls, and then you have daily challenges that you can complete to earn currency. You have towers to fight your way through, and there's loads of them, and they're changing all the time, and then you use those points to purchase more cards. So if you're into that, that's there. Universe mode is back, where it's basically a wrestling sandbox, so you can either completely manage a show, like create a brand new wrestling show and choose the roster and choose who fights who and that sort of stuff, or you can just pick an individual wrestler and then just sort of play a storyline-less career mode, basically, as that wrestler, which is, you know, a nice option to have. My GM.
Yeah.
It sounds similar when I describe it when compared to universe mode, but that is properly like you are running the show.
Yeah.
So you are deciding who faces who. You've got to stay under budget. You've got to choose which venue you're running, the level of production value, who's like going to do a promo and whether or not they get more popular because of it, and who's going to be the most compatible wrestler to face the other wrestler if they're like a bruiser or a cruiserweight or something like that.
You've got
who matches up the best, and it's all about winning the ratings war against whoever you're competing against, whether that's the AI or a friend. You can go back and forth.
Okay.
That's a mode that's been requested for ages. They reintroduced it a couple of years ago, and it's obvious that they are listening to the fans. because every year that mode gets iterated on quite a bit, so they add more stuff in. So this year it's even more full of things. The most interesting modes, to me at least, are the showcase mode. Mm-hmm. This year it focuses on 40 years of WrestleMania. So it picks various matches from across WrestleMania's history and lets you play through them. The production value for this is really good. Like there are talking heads from the wrestlers involved in the matches before and after. There's like a nice sort of hype reel package of actual footage with narration over the top explaining the story like leading into this match. Mm-hmm. And there's narration throughout the match as well. And it's just objective based matches. So it'll be something like do a certain amount of damage to this wrestler,
right,
or do this move to a wrestler in this part of the ring. Mm-hmm. And once you complete a certain amount of objectives, it will then play like the match as mo-capped by people, so it matches exactly what happened in the original, and then it will transition into actual footage, and you'll sort of see the match play out, and then play. You're basically, it's like a playable documentary, essentially.
Cool.
Bit hit and miss that mode though for me.
Oh.
In that the bits where you do watch footage sometimes last for ages. Like you're just sat there watching the match and not playing.
Okay.
Which is a bit strange.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of matches in particular that you are just sat there going, I've not touched my controller for about 5 minutes now, and this is a bit weird. I would kind of like to play this match. So, you know, it's a nice chronicling of WrestleMania. It's not every WrestleMania. It's just like a number of matches. But, you know, your enjoyment of it will vary.
Mm-hmm.
My Rise is the career mode. Once again, there's a female career mode and a male career mode. Unleashed is the women's mode, where you're sort of a fiercely independent a wrestling champion.
It's one where you can make your own
character. So you make your own character and you sort of play through a story with actors and actual wrestlers in from WWE as well. So you're an independent wrestler who's been wrestling on the indies for ages, but in sort of a twist on what the usual story is, which is that you're like a plucky up-and-comer and you just want your big shot at WWE.
Mm-hmm.
The female character doesn't actually care about WWE at all and has turned them down many times in the past,
right,
but a certain event leads her to end up signing with WWE and sort of trying to prove herself there. And she's got past grudges with actual members of the roster who have been in this fictional independent company with her in the past. So that's pretty cool.
Cool.
The male one is called Undisputed, and you're already on the WWE roster, but you're sort of like a mid-card guy. You're not that important.
Mm.
Your win-loss record's not very good, and you sort of fly under
the
radar.
You're not anyone's favorite.
Exactly. Yeah. You're just sort of there, and then suddenly you're thrust into the limelight when Roman Reigns, there's another one of your favorite wrestlers.
Yeah, I love him.
He's
the one that loves reindeers.
He
loves reindeers.
He loves reindeers.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns.
Deers.
Yeah. Exactly. You watch wrestling, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Clearly you watch wrestling. He suddenly abdicates his title.
Right.
And he has been, vacate is the correct word. I don't know why I said abdicate, like he's a monarch. But he's been holding that title for a record amount of time, just as he has in real life. And he suddenly leaves it all behind to go to Hollywood.
Mm.
And there's a power vacuum, and you suddenly get thrust right into the main event scene. And it's about you sort of proving yourself and that kind of rubbish.
Okay.
Both modes play exactly the same. Some matches will just be win this match. Some matches will be objective based, like do this move here, and then an in-game cutscene will play out. You talk to members of the roster backstage. There are optional side missions and just straight up like main story stuff.
Yeah.
And you can just forge through that if you want. And you'll enter story gates, which means that once you go through those, you can't go and do the side stuff that is available to you at that time.
Mm.
But the side stuff is usually much of a muchness. You get some XP to level up your person.
Right, okay.
That's, you don't really have to do it. There is some funny stuff in there too. I think both modes are pretty decent. It is still weirdly with these 2K wrestling games, they are sometimes still written like they're comedies, which is a bit strange. And I know wrestling can be funny, but I feel like sometimes that can undermine things. Outside of that, visually, I think it looks great, but it's quite inconsistent.
Right, okay.
So some of the performers don't look anywhere near their real counterparts, as opposed to some of like the bigger roster members like John Cena or whatever, looks a lot like who John Cena is. In particular, it's male white wrestlers who have a tan. I don't know what technology they use to scan them, but they just look like they've been coloured in with orange crayon.
Oh.
They look really weird.
Weird.
Pete Dunne in particular, who is a tanned white man, in this game, he looks like a really sickly shade of beige. And it's like, that's so weird.
It's got like they've got disease.
Yeah, exactly. They've got other wrestlers like skin tones down perfectly. And then just some of the tanned members of the roster, they just really bizarre. I don't know what's going on there. And they've also added some other stuff, like you can have ambulance matches, you can have casket matches, special guest referee matches. You can now create a referee, and the roster of WWE's actual referees have now been scanned into the game as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in there too. Gameplay wise, it plays exactly the same. The basic combo system from last year is back. The controls are identical. You can now store up three finishers and do a super finisher. And there's a sort of mini game in match called Trading Blows, which is just holding square and stopping it in the sweet point to execute a punch, and then they'll get a turn to do it, and you'll get a turn to do it.
Okay.
And if you lose, you get stunned and you're vulnerable
for
a bit. So, but on the whole, it's just a really competent wrestling game, and like I think they've done a great job. And as I said at the start of this, they've settled into a real groove here, and they could conceivably just make every game like this forever and just keep adding stuff, and that'd be great. I think wrestling fans will be really happy with this.
Yeah.
And you, of course.
Oh, me as well, yeah.
Big wrestling fan over there.
Huge wrestling fan, absolutely massive. Yeah.
That's all I've got to say.
Well, should we carry on the podcast then?
I suppose so.
It's time now for question two, which comes from Hannah O'Neill. Hi, BAP. With news this week that Rockstar calling all employees back to the office full-time and ending hybrid working due to productivity and various other reasons, now saying that GTA 6 will be delayed due to this. Full stop.
Yeah.
Do you think that Rockstar are right to do this, or should there be a different approach that they can take? Love ya, Hannah. Thanks,
Hannah.
Love ya, Hannah. Well, I think that it's difficult to outright say this is bad. I think it's nice, obviously, like remote working is lovely for a lot of people, maybe not everyone, but I think a lot of people do enjoy remote working. And it was one of the slightly more positive takeaways from the pandemic we all went through is that a lot of companies realized, hey, everyone can actually, or a lot of my staff can do their job from home. Why don't we just let them do that? And it allowed companies to sort of save on some of their overheads and things like that. So that's all good. And I like the fact that those people have been able to work from home if that's what they've wanted to do. But I don't think I can go quite as far as to say that it's then bad of Rockstar to say that we're not doing this anymore. I kind of just feel like it's their policy, you know, like we don't let people work from home in our office because we feel like, you know, it's better to have a room full of people collaborating. It's easier to just pass files around. And I think it probably does, to some extent, improve productivity to have people all kind of accountable to each other. So I think it would be a bit rich of me or of us at Triple Jump to say, this is terrible. They should allow people to continue working from home. But with GTA 6 being delayed, I mean, I kind of feel like it was inevitable, and this is maybe just an excuse for, you know, like when we saw the GTA 6 trailer, everyone thought any kind of window they give us for release here is going to be completely meaningless.
Yeah.
It's no surprise here that the game has been delayed. It's just, you know, what were they going to put it down to? Were they going to say it's due to staff or due to money or due to something else is coming out around the time we're going to release our game, so we're going to avoid that. They don't need to do that.
No,
everyone else needs to avoid GTA 6. But, you know, whatever the reason was going to be, I kind of expected at least one delay. So this is the reason they've given. So, yeah, I don't feel like I can say it's bad they're making people come back. And I don't even think I can say it's bad that they're delaying the game because of it, because I think it was expected. That's not to say that things you expect aren't bad by definition, but
you're not surprised.
No,
I feel about this the same way I feel about every company requiring people to come back to work after 4 years of doing hybrid working, in that if it has worked for 4 years, why will it not work for more time? I think that, like we saw during the pandemic, that working from home isn't necessarily any less productive in the grand scheme of things. I also think that obviously hybrid is the sensible thing to do. I think that, like, people being able to come into the office and be there and also be able to go home.
Yeah.
I think things like this, the issue I have with specifically game studios and specifically like now deciding to get everyone back into the office is that people haven't necessarily moved to be within like commuting distance to their offices because they haven't had to. And to then just be like, everyone's got to come back into the office 5 days a week now, is difficult because they have potentially not had to pay them a relocation fee because they haven't relocated because they're working from home. And I think that's where one of the main issues that I've seen online is just that, well, I had a job at Rockstar, but I didn't move because it was entirely remote. And yeah, now they want me to come into the office and I have to move my entire life to get up there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that the issue I have with it is that if it's worked for 4 years, why is it not carrying on working? We obviously know that they're saying that it affects productivity and that this is the reason GTA 6 is delayed,
and
but
there's
a security concern, definitely.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's potentially the more accurate reason that this is happening, more so than like productivity and even release date. I think it's a security issue. They've been spurned and I don't think they want it to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it won't, because we've seen it happen in companies.
Well, exactly. That's the thing, right? Like every argument that they put forward is like, well, the same is true, the opposite. Yeah, you know, the other studios have had major leaks when everyone's working in the office, and I don't think it makes much of a difference, really.
There was that very early GTA leak, I think a couple of years ago now, where it was literally someone had just filmed a monitor, and you can film a monitor wherever you are, you know, whatever you're working on. Yeah. And if anything, maybe it's worse to get a bunch of people back in one building where you can be filming other people's work rather than just your own.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't see necessarily how it's going to improve security.
No. But yeah, I just don't think that necessarily forcing everyone to be back in the office 5 days a week is a good thing. I think it makes them kind of look like dicks. And also, saying that it's for productivity and that it's the reason that GTA 6 is being delayed opens up all of your devs to being harassed online. Anyone who like outwardly works on GTA 6 or works for Rockstar on Twitter, you turn around and say, well, if they all came back to the office, the game would be coming out in time. Yeah. And then you're like, well, you're opening up every single person online who works for your company to receive harassment from
not working hard enough.
The gamers that are probably like a few sandwiches short of a picnic. So yeah, I think that's what a few of my issues with this. But if it feels like the sensible thing for them to do, like what are we going to do about it? Do you know what I mean? But yeah, it's a hard one. But I think hopefully everyone will still have a good time working for Rockstar and not have to go back to the crunching idea of like working in the office from like 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. and having to crunch too much. I'm hoping that this won't lead to more of that again.
Yeah. Rockstar's reasons that they've given make sense on a base level. Mm-hmm. You know, as you said, Peter, people can be more productive in the office. It would be, you know, everyone would be more effective being able to bounce ideas off each other. There's the security concerns as well, which can be better managed in the office. I understand all of that. The problem is, though, that, as you said, Ashton, these people have been working from home or in a hybrid capacity for a long time now. And this, it sounds like this has just been a very sudden decision.
Yeah,
and
that's
none
true.
Of the none of the staff have been consulted. This is a quote from a Kotaku article that we'll link below. That sounds nice, but no one's buying it. On Twitter, developers from Myriad Studios decried the decision, calling the return to office mandate bull flip. Return to office mandates are layoffs, a former Bungie employee tweeted. Mm-hmm. Remote workers are effectively told move or quit.
Mm.
Headline should be Rockstar lays off all remote workers, posted a Sucker Punch developer. So obviously, these guys have a lot more experience with that kind of stuff than we do. On a, as I said, on a base level, it sounds fine, but it might be a bit more sinister than that. And when, again, if there's that much money in play, it probably is that sinister. The article points out that if you are a disabled developer, working remotely is your only option.
And also, if you're immunocompromised or you're someone who is still worried about, like, because COVID's still around and is still having boosts in a lot of places. And if you're someone who is worried about getting sick or making a family member sick, this is really inaccessible to you.
Yeah. People who want to spend more time with their families are obviously worried that being drawn into the office means that there will be immense pressure to work ridiculous hours.
Yeah, if you took the job on a hybrid basis, I hadn't sort of factored that in, but yeah, it's
and people who, as you said, don't live there.
People
who just work remotely are being told move or be fired. Basically, apparently the plug is being pulled on remote access on the 15th of April. So that's it. It's basically work it out. or don't come back, essentially seems to be the message to these guys. Of course, I think one of the major things it comes down to, as we've seen in lots of big companies, is that the company that owns the building that they own or that they rent or whatever are probably very interested in seeing those people back in the office. And that's part of the concern. And also there's a ton of middle managers who sort of have to oversee people working. And when people are working from home, they don't really have much to do and they need to justify what they're doing. So you can look at it from a very cynical perspective, but I think realistically, a lot of people are going to be negatively impacted by this return to the office. And that's crap. Even if it's necessary, it's crap and it sucks. And I don't fully believe Rockstar's reasoning for that. I think that there's probably other factors at play, which are, again, based around maximizing profits and controlling their employees.
Yeah, again, it's just about the way they do these things. Like with question one, like if really someone sat down at Rockstar and said, look, we've looked at the stats, we genuinely need to bring everyone back in for these reasons. Don't say on October the 15th, your remote access will be revoked. And if you're not back, that's it. You know, if they were able to give people warning and say like, look, as of next financial year, well, no, that would be April. But, you know, as of next year, calendar year, maybe we're going to have to like bring back it, you know, give people like at least the opportunity to start looking for somewhere else to live or.
And we don't know. Honestly, we do not know what level of communication has happened between staff. It certainly sounds like based on internal members of staff who have decided to remain anonymous per the Kotaku article, no one's happy about this at all. So it doesn't sound like they've been spoken to by management at any stage of this decision making, which is part of the problem here. But we don't know if there's maybe going to be support offered for relocating people or perhaps certain circumstances like being a disabled developer who has to work from home, you know, allowances being made for that kind of thing. We don't know yet, but certainly it sounds like this is a decision that's kind of come out of the blue and everyone's really pissed off about
and that really they're maybe trying to just manage people out without having to actively make them redundant.
They know some people will not be able to come into the office. And
it's a bit sneaky really, because you could be like, well, unfortunately, you know, people couldn't come back to the office, so we had to let go like 6% of our staff.
But we've not done any layoffs.
But we didn't lay them off. They just couldn't come back to work
even though they didn't have to work in the office. It didn't matter ultimately. Just shady big companies being shady again and messing around with their staff. But we have something of a redemption story for our big discussion, so it's not all doom and gloom which is nice. Do you guys have anything further to add to that, or shall we get a bit peculiar?
I think we should get a little bit strange, actually.
A bit fresh from the presses. It's weird news.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It's weird news time. Time for some weird video game news. Remember, if you'd like to submit some weird video game news to us, you can do so under the relevant social media post that goes out on a Tuesday. However, if you want to guarantee a shout out at this point in the podcast, you need to go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump, support us at the appropriate tier, and become a podcast producer just like
Chip Thompson's Thumbs,
G.Y. Goliath,
Nexus Polaris,
Nicole Hansen,
Kyle Gary,
Andy Scott,
Blake Thomas,
Lockie Morris.
I'm way too high.
Shaman Nomo,
Great Giggity,
Melody L. Bonnet,
Katie Garrett,
Gabrielle Philippig,
Potato Shack 99,
Eric Thieu,
and Big Money Bobby Vegas. Thank you, podcast producers.
Thank you so much, podcast producers. Appreciate you. You got some weird news there, Peter.
I've got some weird news. It was submitted by Dave Cooper on Facebook. And it's according to timeextension.com.
Ooh.
Sounds like they sell clocks.
Is it?
No.
Oh, damn it. They are part of that group.
Yeah, yeah, it's tagged News, Sega, and Dreamcast.
Oh. Sega!
I bet the Dreamcast tag gets used all the time on timeextension.com. Mm.
Yeah.
Hot stuff. This Dreamcast controller full of ants.
Oh, God.
Gross.
Is your nightmare fuel for today.
Hang on, what was the one that we were talking about recently? A controller that had stuff in it, like weird stuff? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. There was like a resin. They'd put like bugs in.
Yeah, bugs in the controller.
Oh, yeah.
Was it in the
buttons? Bugs in the buttons. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. In the buttons.
And we were like, who would buy that?
Yeah.
This person.
This okay, guy. Yeah.
But it has a happy ending, is the subheading.
Does it?
This is written by...
Did the ants get out?
This is written by Damien McFerrin, who says, if you've read our previous feature on how gaming hardware is slowly but surely dying, I think he means, you know, old hardware is not working anymore.
Dying.
Yeah.
Always.
We're all going to die. You'll recall that we gave a special shout out to the creepy crawlies who love to get inside your consoles and make them their home and cause significant amounts of damage in the process. If that's the kind of thing that makes you scream and leap onto the nearest available chair, then you might want to navigate away from this page because the story we're about to recount isn't going to be much fun for bug haters.
Eek!
Why have you clicked on an article called This Dreamcast Controller Full of Ants, if this is how you feel?
Reminds me of when we made that list that was 10 games to avoid if you're, like, scared of bugs.
And were people complaining about
No, I just don't imagine anybody who
Somebody
genuinely
who's scared
wanted to
of
avoid...
bugs would be like, let me click on that.
I'm going to be subjected to 12 minutes of scary bug games.
Yeah. Australia-based YouTuber and vintage hardware restorer Ryan UK Oz recently posted a video about a rather alarming discovery he made in his workshop, which is where he keeps some of his retro gear. While tidying up one of his desks, he disturbed a Dreamcast controller he'd had in his collection for a few years. This triggered a wave of Australian black house ants to appear and swarm the work surface.
House ants?
Yes.
Don't like that.
Controller ants. After cleaning up much of the hoard, Ryan was brave enough to open up the pad and...
No, they're gamer ants.
Oh,
yes,
there they are.
Very good.
They're the ones who write all those articles.
Yeah, on gamerant.com. we'll let the video speak for itself here. The controller had essentially become an ant colony complete with flying ants and larvae.
Ugh.
Here's a...
No, I draw the line at flying ants.
Can I zoom that in?
God messed up that.
Look at all the eggs.
Oh, my goodness me. That
is
disgusting.
So gross.
That is gunky as hell.
Ew.
Really
That's
horrid.
That's really freaked me out.
Sorry.
Oh, I can feel it on my skin.
The YouTuber believes that a previous owner of the pad may have spilt something sugary on the pad or used it after consuming a sweet treat. And that is what attracted the ants to it. Amazingly, Ryan was able to restore the pad and the ants did their bit to help. He took the controller outside and placed it next to a clump of leaves, which he reasoned would be a more suitable home for the colony. Incredibly, the ants agreed and duly removed all of the larvae to the new location, effectively cleaning up the controller as they went. The following day, Ryan reports, the pad was practically clean.
No, he should have just burned it.
Even the PCB, don't know what that is, remained in good condition, despite the proximity of, quote, ant juices.
Oh.
Ryan's scientific description, not ours. As you can see from the video, the pad was restored to full working condition. Teamwork makes the dream work.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. The Dreamcast.
Horrible.
Yes. Teamcast
makes the Dreamcast. Okay, I have some news, and luckily no ants. From Amy Wicks, Ryan Swartz,
Wicks.
Paul Ansell on Facebook.
Paul what?
Ansell.
Ansell
on Facebook. No more ants. This comes from Eurogamer by Liv Nugan, maybe?
Nyan?
Yeah, you're probably right. Now someone's made the Glasgow Willy Wonka experience in Fortnite.
Oh.
Fizzy rifting drinks is the subheading.
Oh.
Very good. Explore Jonesy's whimsical chocolate factory, says the tagline for Jonesy's chocolate factory experience. Build as appropriate for for age 3 and above, and advertising fun and exploration. I used up 40 gigabytes of my precious SSD space to install Fortnite and visit Jonesy's whimsical factory. Yes, I'm still thinking about the infamous Willy Wonka experience held in a sadly decorated warehouse in Glasgow. I didn't visit it in real life or myself, but all of us have already been able to experience it vicariously through memes, quotes, and frustrated parents. Quotes of frustrated parents and interviews with the poor actors who have no idea what they were getting themselves into when they signed their contract. Now it's in Fortnite. After trying it myself, I can imagine the actual thing was pretty similar to Jonesy's Chocolate Factory experience, a Fortnite creative map made by player I'm Sachiko, with a complimentary jelly bean handed out and children crying in the corner. It does not disappoint. The map was empty when I landed at the front of Jonesy's Chocolate Factory experience. Fortnite hero Jonesy stood at the entrance welcoming me in with raised arms.
Who's Jonesy?
I don't know who Jonesy is. I think it's just maybe it's just like a character guys. yeah I don't know.
Okay,
what do I look like? 10
What do I look like? 10
don't
ask a silly question because the answer is yes.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah, from the outside it looks sketchy, but hey, I went all the trouble of installing Fortnite on my PC, so there was no backing out now. Once through the door, it came to a bridge over nothing. Frankly, I could tell already it did not lead to a wondrous, whimsical fantasy land. Exploring further, I was shepherded across through the experience, past the unknown and the sad Oompa Loompa handing out jelly beans. At least there's no one around to judge me for taking far more jelly beans than Jonesy said I was allowed. Past the Oompa Loompa lies a group of people crying in horror as they line up for their turn on the tiny bouncy castle. The unknown claims its victims, both adult and children. It does not discriminate. They've got like the unknown peeking out from behind the mirror.
Horrible.
Oh, God.
Absolutely horrible. At the end of the experience are more children crying, which, from what I gather, is entirely accurate with how it all went down. I had a vaguely harrowing experience, which is exactly what I was hoping for from this recreation. And if you also want to put yourself through the ordeal, the island code for... I'm not going to read the island code out. You can find it yourself. but yeah, apparently it's been commemorated elsewhere in The Sims, Pokemon and Sea of Thieves, as well as Animal Crossing. Mm-hmm. New
and Minecraft as and well. Minecraft, I think I saw it in Minecraft.
Yeah. So if you didn't get to go... Unlucky for you.
Unlucky.
You can play it in a bunch of games now and see the unknown up close and personal.
Mm-hmm. A paradise of sweet teats.
A paradise of sweet teats, mm-hmm. Indeed.
Delicious. Mm.
Yeah. Karchi Tons.
Yeah. Karchi Tons is good.
My weird news comes from Johnny Mac at JohnnyMac13 on Twitter, and I forgot to check Facebook, so thank you if you sent it on Facebook as well. It's from Kotaku and Zach Zweizen. You'll need to spend $70,000 to enter this digital bathroom and twerk.
What?
The $300 million Bored Ape Yacht Club metaverse looks awful in its first big test.
Oh, God.
A large metaverse project created by the company behind the Bored Apes Yacht Club NFT NHS project held a recent series of beta sessions for individuals who owned certain NFTs.
Losers!
While the developers claim this is just the beginning, it's not looking promising considering how much money is involved.
So many Scroogels, Ashton.
Yeah.
Honestly, the amount of hyperlinks in this article is crazy. On February the 29th, the third major playtest for the upcoming NFT-powered metaverse project, Other Side, happened. The event was called Apes Come Home, and the big news was that folks who owned a Bored Ape Yacht Club NFT could arrive, see their NFT realized in full 3D, and gain access to an exclusive digital clubhouse.
All six of them.
Here, players could walk around.
If I stole a picture of someone's NFT, could I get in?
I want to say yes.
Cool.
I don't know. Here, players could walk around, take selfies, twerk, walk some more, and do all of this in silence as the test didn't support text or voice chat. All the more time to contemplate whether spending $70,000 on a digital monkey to gain exclusive benefits in a Second Life knockoff was actually worth it.
Oh, it makes me so angry.
Do you think there was, well, not even do you think, I know there were some NFT bros that, you know, like, 3 days before that happened, they were like, oh, there's only 3 days left. Yes. Yeah. Can't wait.
Because
my yacht experience.
Yeah. Well, you could definitely take a screenshot of another person's NFT and go, look, I've also got that.
Yeah.
Technically, I've got it as well. This is probably maybe the only thing that they will have exclusive access to with their NFT.
Yeah.
Probably the
How
only
thing. How many people realistically are going to be able to go in this?
Don't know. Would you like to hear the most Squoodle loaded paragraph
I would love
in the history of
yes.
the world?
Actually, I don't really want to, but I will.
Other Side is a still-in-development browser-based NFT metaverse MMO that is being developed by Yuga Labs, the company responsible for Bored Apes and Mutant Apes. In May 2022, Yuga was able to sell $300 million worth of digital land in the upcoming game. So there's a lot
These
of money
guys
involved.
Are scam artists.
What are mutants?
Yuga claims that Other Side will support multiple NFT types and eventually contain user-created games like Roblox. To help build this large metaverse, Yuga has held a series of trips or tests in the past. The first
have
was
they
held
got
in,
all the kids that make the Roblox things helping them out?
What, in the mines?
In the mines.
In the game mines, design mines.
Yeah. Oh my god!
Yeah,
they're just. Like melted bored apes.
Awful.
Oh, horror.
Awful. The first was held in 2022, the second in 2023. These, however, were bare bones affairs using default avatars and temporary assets. February 29th's event was different, as it was meant to showcase one of the 200,000 land plots that will make up Other Side, as well as show bored and mutant ape owners what all their money is going to get them. Looking at videos and pictures of the event, Other Side doesn't look great. The graphics aren't ugly, but extremely bland. The performance is choppy, and animations are limited. It looks more like a browser-based 3D chat room from 2013 than a big, expensive 2024 metaverse project, but it falls short in that comparison too, because at least in even the cheapest, crappiest of those virtual chat rooms, you could talk to people. You can't actually chat in Other Side.
No.
It goes on. Apparently, when players arrive... they're attacked by a goat. This is the lore behind why no one can talk. It's very Glasgow Wonka experience,
yeah.
This. The article goes on and on and on. But here's a photo of someone taking a selfie. Let me turn off rotation mode. Someone taking a selfie while someone twerks in a bathroom stall in the background.
Oh, my God.
It is...
It's Roblox for tech bros.
Yeah.
If a nuke hit, like... just a concentrated area where everyone who was playing this game was, the world would lose nothing.
Mm. Do you know what? I've actually got mad respect for people who have made Bored Ape and are now making this, because the scam artist that you have to be to convince people that they own a picture and then also charge them extra money for a thing in a game that looks so bad. Wow. Do you know what? Good for them.
Especially after they've lost so much value in the past few years.
These people have to know that it's not an investment anymore.
Worth
it's
like
literally a status symbol, and that status is you're a penis, and everyone thinks
have more
you are
money
a penis.
Than you know what to do
with. Everyone thinks you're stupid.
It's really weird. It's not like, imagine, do these people not want like a nice car or a lovely holiday?
I guess they probably
have
that.
But what is, you are literally
Why
burning
money.
Why
don't you just give $70,000 to charity?
To a real ape.
Buy an actual
in dollar
monkey.
Bills. Yeah. See what it does. Probably something way more interesting than this.
Introduce currency to monkeys.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Capitalism, but with apes.
Yeah.
Put them on a yacht and just watch what
See
happens.
What happens.
See if
Seems
they
like
get bored.
Cruelty.
I bet they won't get
See if
bored.
They figure out how to drive the boat and become monkey pirates.
See if they mutate.
Yeah, spend $70,000. See if we can make some real mutant apes.
Yeah.
Less like radioactive spill.
Yeah, do some good for society.
Do some good. Let's start injecting apes with weird stuff and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. I think they already do that.
Probably. Yeah. There they are. That was weird news. It's time, everybody, for the big discussion. It's big discussion time. Time for the big video game discussion that this week comes courtesy of Big Bobby Money, Big Money, Bobby Money, Bobby Vegas. Hooray! I got it wrong. Dearest Bab, Saber Interactive, the developers of Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake, has paid a reported $500 million in order to buy itself back from Embracer Group to once again become an independent company. Further news this week indicates that Embracer Group is also close to finding a buyer for Gearbox Software. Embracer Group have brought no value to the gaming landscape whatsoever and have merely bought companies to seemingly flip them or break them up and sell assets. Basically, they're scalpers. Do you think anything can be done to prevent companies like Embracer from from continuing with these highly damaging practices? Much love, BMBV. I've got a little write-up here from
Bumbuv.
Your friend, Bumbuv, from VG247, written by Stephanie Nanili Jackson. Saber Interactive will soon be free of Embracer Group thanks to a private investor group coughing up $500 million for the outfit. Oh, there is also a new report stating that... read that.
We don't have to read it.
Just one of you read that. I'm about there. My brain's it's like wet clay. It's coming off.
There is also a new report stating the mega company has a buyer lined up for Gearbox Software. Concerning the Saber Interactive deal, a Bloomberg source familiar with the matter said that once inked, the firm would be privately owned. A privately owned company retaining close to 3,500 employees. Saber will also continue development on its Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake, which it took over from Aspyr Media in 2022. And this year, it is set to release Expeditions, a Mudrunner game, John Carpenter's Toxic Commando, and Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine 2. Saber Interactive was acquired by Embracer Group in 2020 for $525 million.
Oh, thank you, Peter.
You're welcome.
Well, at least they're losing some money.
Mm. Yeah.
At least.
I mean, to a slightly lesser extent, obviously, Gearbox has only just been purchased and they're immediately looking for an out, and that's understandable. I don't know if... I wonder if Randy will buy it back for like less than he sold it for, because that would be
£400.
That would be how much did you get his shirt for?
£11.
£11, because that would be a real get, wouldn't it? For old Pitchford to sell it for however much to embrace it and then buy it back for a fraction.
God,
of
he'd
the
never
cost.
Shut up about it, would he?
I know, and it's only been like a year.
He'd
as
be
well.
Like, "You want to see some real magic? I'm going to make your money disappear."
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there we are. Well, that's something, isn't it?
Do you know what fills me with glee?
What?
It fills me with such warm feeling inside.
What?
Seeing Embracer get shafted. Oh, love it. I wish nothing but bad things to all of the shareholders in Embracer.
And 3,500 staff will get to... Well, I mean, we'll see. Because they could, you know, this $500 million buyout could happen. They'll be independent. They immediately let go of $500 million worth of staff to make it happen. But that is great news that at the moment, 3,500 employees are safe from Embracer.
Yeah. Stick that article on Pornhub. Mega corporation gets shafted by its subordinate company.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
I know that they only really lost like $25 million and they still get $500 million sent to them by mysterious investor. But I just like to see people escape from the grasp of Embracer Group.
Yeah. What are they doing? I'm curious. Like, they're selling off to cover their own asses.
What
here.
Are they doing? Well,
that's it. They're selling off all of their good companies, closing some of the smaller ones. And what? They've got the Lord of the Rings license and some...
No, they're like, I think they're going to get rid of as much as they can.
Yeah.
Like, sell as much as they can.
And then just walk away.
Yeah,
that's possible.
And Embracer Group will cease to exist. I think they'll close a bunch of studios that they can't sell. Mm-hmm. They'll sell everything that they can. And then... they'll look at the pot of money that they've got and they'll split it back and then they'll
between the yeah, because is it actually restructuring so that they can still exist in the video game space?
No, or
is
I don't think so.
Is it, as you said, they just want out.
They
want
I mean, I'd like to think they would do that, but I feel like the temptation to keep hold of a few things and try and turn that into a cash cow rather than just liquidate it would be preferable to them, but I hope so.
They could be like Sony in the Marvel movie thing, just holding on to the Lord of the Rings license, Sony have Spider-Man, so that's why they occasionally make Venom movies that are crap. They could do the same with Lord of the Rings, just pump out a rubbish Lord of the Rings game so no one else can have the license.
They've have pretty much come out and been like, we don't care about games or gamers or people who make the game, we just wanted to make money. You said games make us money, so we decided to buy games.
People who, you know, owned independent, but at that point independent studios, you made them a lot of money. You gave them a lot of money at the time.
I think it's great to hear that some studios are escaping intact and not just being closed down. And I do hope Embracer decides, hey, maybe this is the way we do this. Rather than just closing all of these companies, see if anyone's willing to buy them. I mean, I guess they probably floated that idea out previously, but just made the decision to, not sell. And we're going to close this one, or no one was interested in buying some of the ones they've closed down. But it's good to see. I mean, likewise, reminds me of the fact that Toys for Bob have gone independent as well, presumably because they've bought themselves out. I don't actually know what the financial aspect of that is, but one has to assume that it's just been bought out. So that's good to see, especially in the current climate where so many people are being laid off for even you know, studios that are doing a great job. Seemingly that's not enough to save you at the moment.
No.
So with Embrace's properties and studios that they own, some of which don't even, as far as we're aware, don't even appear to be working on anything, or, you know, nothing's been announced, you know, they're probably really at risk. So I think it's a great thing. But to answer the question, do you think anything can be done to prevent companies like Embracer from continuing with these highly damaging practices? I don't know. It's difficult because there are obviously things in place to prevent, like, monopolization and stuff, as we saw ad nauseum for the past 2 years with obviously the Xbox acquisition, the Activision and Xbox deal. But that's where you're dealing with far bigger companies. And I think it's, I imagine that legally speaking, it's far more straightforward for a very large company like Embracer to acquire some smaller little things and add them to their portfolio. But I would really like there to be, you know, law set down or kind of requirements for someone to put a plan in place and say, we are buying this entity now with a view to do such and such a thing with it, rather than just, we're going to like hoard all these licenses, not do anything with most of them. But I don't know how easy it is to police that. I imagine there's absolutely nothing in place at the moment to do that. And I don't know how easy it would be to introduce such legislation. But it's a pipe dream, really.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think the only way this could be stopped is if there is some form of legislation. But like you say, because it's so international, like these companies, Embracer Group, I don't even know where they were ever based. I think they were European.
I think they're Scandinavian.
Yeah, I was going to say Scandinavian. But the companies they're buying are all over the globe. And then because they're in individual countries, there's nothing that like will stop them really from doing this, because it's across borders and there's no rules everywhere.
They're Swedish,
yeah. It's a hard thing, and I think that the only thing that can stop this from happening again is if the people who are in charge of these developers that are being purchased are more wary of who that they are selling their companies to. Because I think that Embracer Group, when they first emerged on the scene, probably sounded like a really sensible thing to do. And they probably sounded like, well, this will make sense. They'll buy our company, they'll support us, we'll be part of a bigger chain of, like, you know, games, and we'll have access to more stuff if we belong to Embracer. Of course it makes sense. And then it was only a few years down the line when the cracks started to form and everything fell apart. But I think that the issue here is that there's nothing we can do, and there's nothing really that I don't think lawmakers can do to stop this. I think it's purely down to the individual, like, shareholders within companies to have more respect for their own companies and not just sell it to whoever's going to give them some money. I think there needs to be some thought in place ahead of time about how this is realistically going to pan out. If you see a corporation buying everything, you have to be aware that eventually they are going to run out of money, because there isn't an unlimited money tree. Eventually they will be bled dry.
But I swear the next SpongeBob remake's gonna bring in $1 billion.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's nice to see that these studios have escaped the ever-reaching grasp of the Embracer Group. But it feels like a very hard thing to say. You know, obviously they should have known better is a silly thing to say, because hindsight is 2020. But yeah, it's hard. It's hard to stop something like this happening. And I think the fact that we were all aware this was a bad thing and it was still going on, I think to me speaks more of like the individual company's potential greed, more so than, you know, Embracer being a sensible option by the end of things, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I was amazed that all of these acquisitions were allowed in the first place. Because as you said, Peter, even though it was on a much larger scale, that ActiBliz acquisition was and still is, actually, in certain areas of the world, under the appropriate level of scrutiny.
Mm-hmm.
They should have to have a plan here, especially when there are so many employees and staff members at stake here. You know, there should be some kind of legislation where if a company is of a certain size and another company is acquiring them, particularly when there's a pattern of behavior that is as concerning as Embracer, because it was every week they were acquiring like two or three studios. It was insane how rapidly they were expanding.
And also it's impossible to find out who they owned and what they owned.
There's still not a definitive list because it's kind of confusing even now, because it's all in, you know, holding companies and all that kind of rubbish. There should have been some kind of investigation. There should be some sort of process to that. Companies shouldn't be able to expand as fast as that. To behave so negligently as to acquire that many studios in such a small amount of time and just a few years later see record job losses in that industry and sector that you have decided to invest in feels illegal, and it should be illegal. It shouldn't be allowed. Someone should be punished for this, and it shouldn't be the people who were let go. That is not on at all.
I think that, like, saying like they should be punished, they formed this entire company under the guise that they were going to get this money from this other people. Mm-hmm. Like, this... Was it Saudi?
Yeah, the Saudi investment fund. Yeah, that's what they were banking on.
And you can't gamble with, like, this many people's livelihoods because of a potential get some money.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It certainly feels like something that the EU would be very interested in, where labor laws are that much stricter and honestly a lot better than many other places in the world. This should be used... If no one steps in soon, this should be used as a case study for why more legislation is needed to stop mega corporations or just massive investment entities from just buying loads of stuff up and then tossing it all away.
Yeah.
Because this isn't, as you said, Ashton, this isn't for the, I mean, none of it, none of the companies involved in gaming, with rare exceptions, maybe some indie studios, are in it for the love of the game. You know, it's all about making money. But these guys specifically came in extremely cynically with a pocket full of money, bought as much as they could, then took a huge gamble on getting another massive investment so they could carry on buying things with the end goal of making as much money for themselves as possible. And when that didn't happen, obviously, the stuff that gets cut to make sure that, you know, they don't lose all their money at people's jobs in these studios that were perfectly fine existing and operating on their own or under different publishers beforehand.
It's also the fact is, like, they bought all of these studios, they bought all of these licenses, and then, like, what did they do to show for it? There's, like, the odd game that we could be like, oh, yeah, that was Embracer Group, maybe?
We,
like,
saw a bit of the Time Splitters 2 remake this week, didn't
Fortnite.
We?
Good God.
Fortnite.
Awful. That was in development under Embracer as well. It was third person. They dropped all their loot. Honestly, go and look at it. It's shocking what was happening.
Nothing about, obviously, the unfortunate, again, the people who lost their jobs from that studio closure. Absolutely. I am glad, as an isolated thing, I am so glad that game is not happening now. Yeah. That is a mercy killing.
And that does not feel like a decision that was, or a direction that probably was decided upon by the studio. That does feel like can you do Fortnite? But
yeah,
like,
what can we call it?
People love Time Splitters, right? Yeah. I mean, I don't even know anymore. It's been 20 sodding years.
Yeah. It was just skins, basically. It was characters you recognize in Fortnite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's really what they had made.
Looked horrendous. Yeah. This whole company is an absolute flip show. And we've spoken about it before in that the warning signs were there very early on, because Peter and I have been talking about Embracer Group since we first started Triple Jump. And one of their PR guys went and did an AMA on 8chan.
Yeah.
And it was like, what the hell were you thinking? No one knows what they're doing over there.
Yeah.
It's bonkers. It's disgusting. And there's nothing that we can do. Again, you know, just small fries here. But more legislation, more scrutiny, more oversight needed to protect people. You know, consumers, people who are working there, and, you know, companies from just being absorbed. They bought entire publishers. Mm-hmm. It's crazy what they were able to just do. Shocking.
Anyway. And for the licenses to be, you know, kind of, so, I don't know. I know these things are sold on quite often, but there are occasions where they kind of just dissolve into nothing, I think, or just get lost or taken by some company that probably doesn't even know they have it anymore. So that's the other thing, you know, there's the human aspect. And then, you know, there's like some genuinely really good intellectual property, some potential for, you know, without being too wanky about it, like some artwork, you know, that's what, especially nowadays, video games can be art. Mm. And the characters, the narrative experiences we've had over the years from some of these licenses are being lost either in amongst company, like holding companies and stuff, or potentially just sort of being liquidated into nothing. And so that's something else we're losing here, is like some genuinely like really good fiction.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Timesplitters is cursed, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're never, ever going to see... And it's too late now.
Yeah.
Anything they make now will not stand up to scrutiny today. It's just re-release the old ones.
Yeah.
Mm. Just stick them out in a package.
Mm-hmm.
Bloody Dark Forces has been... Yeah. Dark Forces has been remastered and re-released before we got anything from Timesplitters. Shocking behaviour. That's the worst thing they've done.
Mm.
I'm going to say it. That's the worst thing Embracer Group have done.
Yeah.
No, it's awful. But obviously, these guys getting their independence is fantastic. Hopefully, Saber Interactive can shine on their own, mm-hmm. and we don't see them succumbing to exactly the same trap
I'm
everyone else is at the moment.
Whether they keep the license / ability to make Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
It says they're going to keep developing it.
Does it? Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's
I don't know how they've agreed
that.
That's
about, because obviously they bought all these studios that had their own licenses. Within selling them, do they just also sell the licenses, or are these licenses still belonging and they're being sold separately?
Yeah, because IO Interactive got independence from Square Enix, they got to keep Hitman, didn't they? And that was a big deal. That was like their thing that they wanted.
Yeah, so maybe we'll see some more. Yeah.
And maybe we won't see so many, is it on, is it off, you know, articles about that game being cancelled, and then no, actually it's not, and then oh well, now we're hearing reports that it is from two of the developers, and like oh no, now other people are saying
someone, at least one person is working on it.
Yeah, exactly. It's been such a roller coaster with that game in particular. So.
Yeah,
really has. Well, let us know what you think about everything we've discussed today in the comments below. There's a few places around the internet where you can find us. Peter's going to tell you about a couple of them right now.
You can find us at youtube.com and twitch.tv/teamtriplejump, where we do videos on YouTube, and Twitch is where we do our streams. And if you've got Amazon Prime, do you know why I stumbled over that?
Why?
I was going to say, where for as little as $1 per month, which is like not
that's
even
not,
what it is now.
That's not right.
But Amazon Prime, if you've got Amazon Prime, the bundle you are paying for already includes a Twitch sub. So you can redeem that on us at no extra cost and get all the normal benefits of being a Twitch subscriber.
Yeah.
Mm, that's nice. You can go to Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok, on all of which we are at Team Triple Jump. And go to patreon.com/Team Triple Jump to support us if you fancy it.
TripleJump is our website. That's where you can find links to everything we can do, including our shop, or just go to triplejumpshop.com. That's where you can buy this lovely hoodie right here. That lovely hoodie right there.
And that one.
That lovely hoodie right there.
Yes, this is
that lovely shirt right there. And this lovely shirt as well. I can't be asked to get it out.
Yeah.
It's the new logo shirt. TripleJump. Yes, that's our website. I said that. 5-star review. Why don't you leave that on your platform of choice for listening to audio podcasts? We'd really appreciate that. It doesn't cost you a penny, and it would help us out.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Just enough time to talk about this week's sponsor again, which is, of course, the arrival of As Duck Falls on PlayStation 5. New narrative adventure game where everyone goes...
Wah.
Like that.
Wah.
It's really good. Not... What was it?
Oh, just a quiet one. Just a distant duck.
Okay. There are many ducks in it. You're going to want to check it out. Thank you so much for watching / listening, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.